You're listening to the Faster Than Normal podcast, where we know that having ADD or ADHD is a gift, not a curse. Each week, we interview people from all around the globe, from every walk of life in every profession, from rock stars to CEOs, from teachers to politicians, who have learned how to unlock the gifts of their ADD and ADHD diagnosis and used it to their personal and professional advantage, to build businesses, to become millionaires, or to simply better their lives. And now, here's the host of the Faster Than Normal podcast, the man who booked a round-trip flight to Tokyo just to write a best-selling book, Peter Shankman.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Faster Than Normal. My name is Peter Shankman. I am Faster Than Normal. I have been since birth, only diagnosed about 15 years ago, and I realized, holy crap, this could be useful. We have a fun guest today, like we do every week, talking to Sam Led. He's a coach, he's a speaker, he's the author of Beyond ADHD, and he's host of the podcast, The Fearless Now. He lives in Santa Barbara, California, and he explores what's possible when we take our mind and thinking less seriously and discover our innate intelligence and wisdom underneath the daily dose of noise in the ADHD mind. I love that concept. He works with clients all over the world via Zoom. He leads one-on-one personalized coaching sessions, uses online group programs about understanding your ADHD mind and neurodiversity. If I had to describe this guy, I'd say he looks like California. He has the blonde. He looks like the guy who was the evil high school kid in the first episode of the OC when the guy we liked got beaten up by the guy and he said, "Welcome to the OC, bitch." And that's him. So Sam, welcome.
I get William Zabka.
Yes.
I'm the Karate Kid. And,
exactly.
I'm the Jewish William Zabka. What do you want from
me? Get my body bag, Johnny. All right. Welcome to Fast and Normal, Sam. It's good to have you.
It's an honor to be here, man. I'm really excited.
So tell us your story. When were you diagnosed? How'd your whole system come to play?
So I was actually misdiagnosed, which is very common for ADHDers. In 1981, the diagnosis was visual, motor, and some other stuff.
Motor visual impairment. Yeah, the same thing.
Yeah. I can line up columns. and it didn't seem right to me. Of course, being 7 years old in 1981, where even, you know, well-meaning psychologists, the clinicians didn't really know what was going on, you know, for MRIs and et cetera. And then in 2000, at the age of, my God, 24, I was officially diagnosed with ADHD, and it was the best day ever because it explained a lot of things. But instead of me exploring it as something that's a weakness or dysfunction, or that I looked at it as, we're not attention deficit, we're attention different, you know. And as I'm quoting your colleague, Adam Dyke, we're just hyper aware.
Yep.
In spades.
100%.
For better or for worse. Yeah.
So you get diagnosed. And what was your big thing? Like, what was the thing that kept you screwing up in school or kept you getting in trouble or kept you, you know, off the friends list? What was it?
Well, first of all, I couldn't sit still. I mean, you can't see me. You can't see my legs, but my legs are going. I would interrupt people. If I didn't believe in what the teacher was saying, especially when it came to law and order in the classroom, I would speak up. But why do I need a bathroom pass? I mean, if I have to go to the bathroom, it's human nature to get up and go to the bathroom. You know, stupid stuff like that. And then testing. So I do believe many ADHDers, of course, there is probably some longitudinal data on this somewhere, we're nonlinear thinkers. So with a nonlinear thinking kind of brain, it takes me longer to take tests. And I actually hated Scantrons, if you're old enough to know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Scantrons. And so because my mind, I call myself a mind wanderer, you know, there's this effervescent technicolor kind of stream of consciousness that many ADHDers experience. When I would enter that space of presence, that space of flow, I would see my omnipotential, and it made no sense to me because I would have flickers of it. Like, I can't finish this test. Everyone's done. I'm still sitting in the classroom, right? I can't read a passage in a book because it would go right over my ears. But then there'd be moments where thinking would slow down. I would drop out of my thinking, and I just knew how to read. I just knew how to write, and I love writing.
I guess there's a moment where you're just like, everything clicked.
Yeah. Right. And I didn't realize I'd been doing that my entire life. I just wasn't paying attention to it because, you know, it was a boring moment in an ADHDer's life. A boring moment is really not that something we want to pay attention to.
Yep.
But then I started paying attention to those moments many, many years later in my middle age, when I was introduced to this understanding called the three principles, mind, thought, and consciousness. These are three forces to how we work as human beings from the inside out. And that got me really curious. I put on my wet lab coat underneath my, you know, my board shorts. And I just got curious about how this brilliant Technicolor mind works.
Yeah.
And I've been a coach for 17 and a half years, but not focused on ADHD. I was just curious about the human experience, our Netflix movie in our mind.
So what are you telling people? I mean, a lot of what we're hearing from coaches, from doctors, whatever, is, you know, you can use this to your advantage, but it's going to cause you a lot of grief. And the stories are sublime at the best, right? They're not necessarily the best way to learn, the best way to listen. So what are you telling people?
Well, you know, life's a contact sport. You're going to get your knocks. The thing that we have to understand about suffering, I'm not talking about suffering, physical suffering, although that happens too, right? Knock on wood, it doesn't happen anytime soon between you and I. But once I learned, one of my mentors said to me once, if the only thing in your life that you could not be afraid of is your experience, your psychology, that alone would change your life. And he meant to say that to the entire collective. But once I stopped being afraid of feeling overstimulated, once I stopped being afraid of feeling anxious, because I get anxious, I go from zero to anxious in a split second. Once I stopped getting scared of feeling, you know, that sensory overwhelm experience that we have, that changed my life forever. Because you can't stop anxiety. You're going to have anxiety. You're going to have anxiety in your life. You're going to have overwhelm in your life. You're going to be distracted sometimes. But once you understand how the mind is trying to tell you, you're not supposed to be scared of that. It's a barometer. It's a neural barometer. And well-meaning clinicians and even Yale-trained, Harvard-trained, Ivy League-trained psychiatrists, neurologists will tell you something completely different.
Yeah.
That it's built into us. It's our pre-installed factory equipment. It's OEM equipment to have this brilliant technology called thought. This barometer that is through feeling. Remember, our thoughts are connected to our feelings.
Right.
That's letting us know when our state of mind has gone south. Now, in an ADHD brain, because the area of, as you know, Peter, the area of the brain, where the prefrontal cortex, the executive functioning area of the brain, we don't have that filter that can organize all the incoming stimuli data that's hitting us, right?
Right.
We receive it all at once. So for the ADHDer, anxiety feels like the world's coming to an end. And being rejected, rejection sensory dysphoria stuff, like not getting on the team or not getting a book deal or whatever, right, can feel like the end of the world. Versus a neurotypical, they might, like, you know, feel crappy for a little bit, but we take it on as truth. And we just are misunderstanding how to use the equipment to work for us. That feeling is saying, Sam, you're up in your machinery. There's no place to be there. Hold on. Don't take that thinking, those feelings seriously. You can ignore it. Like earlier today, I woke up this morning, you know, I have a full client day and I just felt so overwhelmed. I don't know why. It is what it is. And I just ignored it. I still got up and brushed my teeth and took a shower, you know, and hey, what choice you have, right? It's not going to kill you, anxiety. You know, the brain is stupid. I know that's paradoxical. The brain is stupid because it's there to keep you safe, but it doesn't care if it's making you anxious.
I would argue that anxiety won't kill you unless you give it the tools to.
Exactly.
One of the greatest quotes I ever heard came from a Peloton instructor of all things who said that the cure to anxiety is action.
Yep.
Doing something.
Absolutely.
Right? Sitting there and listening to your brain say you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're not going to do anything is, yeah, it's going to kill you. You've given it the tools. If you shut it off and say, okay, I'm going to go for a run, I'm going to go get on the bike, I'm going to go boxing, I'm going to go do something.
Yeah.
You're creating the action to prevent that from
happening. I want to show you something real quick. This is my pedometer. Can you see it? How many steps it, how many miles
it says, I ran? 13,712 steps as of now.
Okay. That's my temple. For every ADHDer out there, if you're really caught up in the thick of it, go walk around the block. Like for me, it's 5 miles a day. But
well, it's funny we talked about that because the whole premise of you know, one of the things I talk about is that you go, you know, before a meeting, I'll go and I'll walk up 4 or 5 flights of stairs for no other reason than because it helps.
Yep. Yeah. But I also understand, and what I do share with my clients is, like, you don't need to do that to sit with your anxiety. You right. can sit with your anxiety and you see the brain trying to blame an outside situation, your finances, your family member sick, whatever it is, right? The paint on the wall is not drying quick enough, whatever it is. But the brain doesn't know better, because the brain is a black and white system. We have an operating system in the brain that really hasn't had a software update since the Paleolithic era, since like caveman times. We're dealing with old equipment. It's kind of like the NTSB and air traffic control. Their systems are so antiquated. God forbid there's an, you know, like, we're dealing with old equipment. So treat it accordingly. Our brain loves us. And ADHD brains are some of the most beautiful brains I've ever come into contact with on the outside. And that's why I love working with ADHDers, because I see their omnipotential. We get in the conversation and when I'm working with a client and I see them going through the, like, what's wrong, they, you know, they feel insecure, they're caught up in their thinking. And then something happens where they just drop out of that thinking
right.
and there's calm. And they say, so now how do you feel now? I was like, I feel fine. Okay. Feel good to get that out. Great. Yeah. But that's the pivot to presence that happens, and it's all on offer in all of us. And for me, that was a game changer for my brain, because I've been diagnosed with 7 to 8 different kinds of things. The DSM-5, you know, I probably have my own page, because I've been diagnosed with OCD and anxiety disorder, GAD and free-floating anxiety, and then finally ADHD.
You're right next to my page. It's all good.
Yeah, well, we have bookmarks there just in case we want to go.
Tell us how people can find you, Sam.
Yeah. Thank you. It's samledconsulting.com. Which is my website. Go to my Instagram page, which I'm pretty active. I'm there a lot. SamLed1111. I'm actually, as a Gen Xer, on TikTok, which is a lot of fun. Have you tried that yet?
And so I refuse to go on TikTok. I used to work for, one of my clients used to be Huawei out of China. I will not put TikTok on my phone.
Okay. Well, it's a paradise for ADHDers that really want to feel, you know, it's a welcome space for ADHDers.
Yeah. Yep. So is Instagram.
Yep. My TikTok is SamLed1111, and just feel free to reach out to me. Love to meet all of you guys.
Awesome.
I do offer free work too. It's not just, you know, so it's a sliding scale.
Cool.
My podcast, again, it's a place of safety for ADHDers that don't feel heard, basically.
I love it. Sam, thank you guys. Thank you for being on here, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's awesome. Guys, thanks for listening to Faster Than Normal. As always, we want to know what you think. Drop me a note, shoot me an email, find me on Threads. I'm currently bitching about the Supreme Court there, so that's always fun. And stay tuned. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Talk soon.
You've been listening to the Faster Than Normal podcast. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and of course at www.fasterthannormal.com. I'm your host, Peter Shankman, and you can find me at petershankman.com and at Peter Shankman on all of the socials. If you like what you've heard, why not head over to your favorite podcast platform of choice and leave us a review? The more people who leave positive reviews, the more the podcast is shown, and the more people we can help understand that ADHD is a gift, not a curse. Opening and closing themes were performed by Stephen Byram, and the opening introduction was recorded by Bernie Wagonblast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.